1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and today I have with me a French national magic champion and well-known coin expert, Mr. Eric Roumestan. Correct? How's
Hello,
that?
Hello, Scott.
Very good?
Hello, everybody. Yes. Roumestan in French.
Roumestan. You're rolling it in the back of your throat?
Yeah.
More of a Roumestan.
Exactly. Okay. Perfect.
But is that an Italian name or a French name?
Is a French
name. It's a French name.
French name. My origins. But your origin, Italian.
You were born in Italy.
No.
You
in
just
France.
Lived in. Okay, but you
no,
lived.
No, by my father. My family, by my father, is from Spain and Italy. But me,
you couldn't make up his mind. Wait, your father was from Spain and Italy?
Yeah, his okay. family.
Okay, I got you.
Oh, yes. It's complex.
Because, it sounds like it.
Oh, yeah, I told you before, he was born in Algeria, you know?
Yes, right.
And
okay.
he's French, but his family is from Spain and Italy,
in Italy
before, yeah.
Okay. And what was
some generation before?
And where in Italy? You said that was where you were from, or where he was from?
Ischia.
Ischia.
Ischia is one of the three islands in the Gulf of Naples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is
you
south
have Capri.
Of-
Capri, maybe in English.
Okay, yes.
Sorrento e Ischia. And Ischia.
And Ischia.
And is from this island.
I'll have to remember that, or at least try to pronounce that. But now you live in Salzburg?
Strasbourg.
Strasbourg.
Strasbourg. Salzburg in Austria.
Austria, okay.
It's different.
Completely different country. Okay,
okay yeah. But it's a border of Germany, Strasbourg.
Okay, which yeah. is where, was that Mozart, I think, was from there? From Strasbourg. From not, I'm getting confused. Strasbourg.
Strasbourg.
Got it.
Yeah.
French.
Yes.
Which is in the southern
S-T-R-A.
Part.
S-T-R-A-S-B-O-U-R-G.
Strasbourg.
Yeah, Strasbourg.
And that's southern part, closer to Monte Carlo, or whereabouts is that?
No. It's the east part, the north. Okay, with
northeast.
Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, northeast. And the border with Germany. But I come from the south of France. During 20 years, I was in the south.
Yeah.
Between Marseille and Nice. And that's why maybe you're confused.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, I mentioned Monte Carlo, and David Stone was here, and we were chatting. He said he had worked at in Monte Carlo, you know, for
Monte
a while.
Monte Carlo, Saint-Tropez, yeah. Saint-Tropez,
yeah.
maybe. Yes, me too. Me too.
Okay.
But in street.
Not in the street, not in the casinos.
Yeah.
Or
no,
not in,
no, no,
okay.
No.
So he probably found it a little bit easier than for working because people would stop to watch you. Whereas when he said he was working in restaurants, it was difficult because some people didn't care at all. You said French people are
a
different kind of an audience.
Oh, yeah. It's totally different in street, you know, and with the French people, it's really different.
Okay.
I explained you during the lecture yesterday. For example, you make a vanish of a coin in streets, and for French people, for American people, or Japanese or Spanish people, is wow, is amazing.
Yeah.
For French people, how do you do? Explain me, guy. You know, it's totally different.
And they expect you to tell them.
Oh, yeah.
I guess. And they're not going to give up until you explain.
Yeah.
Huh. How do you get over that?
I don't want to explain, but...
No. How do you get past that? How do you explain? I mean, since you can't tell them, what do you say? How do you get past it?
No.
What do you say?
Just dream, please.
Just dream.
Yeah, just dream, please. You're French, but dream, okay? It's really easy, okay?
Yeah.
It's not a power, you know that, okay?
Yes.
I'm not a real magician, but you can dream just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? It's entertainment. That's all. I just want to surprise you and
right.
please dream.
Well, we were talking at dinner last night. Speaking of dreaming, jump right into philosophy a little bit on magic.
My philosophy.
Your philosophy on magic. We were talking a little bit about the importance of how that people should relate to magic on their own.
Yeah.
In their own way.
So for me, if I come at a table, for example, in a restaurant, hello, I'm a magician. If I tell that, it's not possible for me to have mistakes, to make mistakes,
yeah.
you know, because I'm a magician.
You're not supposed to make mistakes. Yeah, exactly. No,
but I don't pretend to be a magician, but I pretend to be like a real magician,
okay,
using illusions.
Yeah.
And for me, the magic is not one opinion on one religion or one idea, okay? Mm-hmm. You have your vision of religion, politics, and the magic too. And each people is different.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is, when during one effect in the same time, to understand your vision of magic, of understand each people, each vision of each people, okay, and to create this emotion. Because for me, magic is an emotion, you know. And I need to understand what emotion is for you, mm-hmm. you know.
And men and women are different as far as their emotions completely.
Sure. If I make a vanish of a coin, for example, for you is magic. For another, I'm a cheater, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
So it's totally different. But I need to
find
to find it and to feel it. And after, okay, you need an effect more strong. And for the other, it's not important because magic exists.
Yeah.
So for them, for both, is magic now, if it's more stronger for the other, is really good for the first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think it's my job. And see, for if for you, you can feel magic, you see magic, and I'm a magician, I win. You know?
Right.
So I reverse the problem.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Reverse the problem.
Reverse the problem. Okay. The problem is, I'm a magician. You can see is a complete vanish of a coin. No, not for me. You keep the coin in the other hand.
Yeah.
You don't understand magic, you know. No. Okay, why you think I keep the coin in the other hand? Because maybe I don't share very well, you know. Maybe I show you just a technique.
Okay, okay.
You know?
Yes.
So, but if I understand you, okay, maybe for him, magic is like that. I need to understand very quickly that.
That's
okay.
Right. And then you change.
And I change.
And adapt to.
For you, and adapt my magic for you.
Yes.
For me, magic, I think we have one power, just one, to share our secret.
Our one power
keep
is to
the
share
secret.
The secret.
We keep the secret, but we need to share our magic. You know? It's not... I don't perform magic just to show to everybody I'm the best manipulator in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just I know magic. That's why I need to share magic for the others, for mm-hmm. layman, because layman doesn't know the secret. But me, yes. That's mm-hmm. why I can't show them magic share magic,
yeah.
you know,
okay.
to create this emotion. I think it's our power as magician.
I would think that would be particularly difficult when you are performing for more than one person, in particular doing street magic, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But as a street magician, when you're going to be having a circle of people and everybody is at a different level of their understanding of the mystery, of the magic, how do you try to get a feel for...
It's another concept, because I think there's two ways in street. First, you have a big audience completely surrounded, mm-hmm. okay, by the audience with a big circle. And it's just a show, a funny show or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you play with them, with the kids, with the different spectators. And that's all, okay. It's a great moment with a good entertainer.
Yeah.
And it was funny. And that's all. The second is in close-up show.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like Bebel, for example, in France.
Bebel.
That kind of magic. Bebel.
Yeah.
In America.
Bebel.
for example, I think about him because I know him very well. But it's the same concept, you know. Few people.
Mm-hmm.
And with few people, you can create these feelings.
Sure,
you know?
Because he's working sitting down at a table when you only have six people or so, as opposed to six.
Sit down or stand up.
Yeah.
But you have just your table and the people surrounded
mm-hmm.
Around your
right.
table. Okay.
Right.
And that's all. So with few people, you can play with emotions, feelings. You
sure.
know, it's not a problem. For me, in the street, you can be the best manipulator and the worst magician in the world. Because it's not important.
The best manipulator and the worst magician.
I explain why.
Yeah, okay. That's a paradox.
Yes, but it's true. Or the worst manipulator and the best magician in the world. Depend on your entertainment.
I can understand that.
You know?
Yeah.
For example, you're a good sleight of hands.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay?
You can show a good demonstration of sleight of hands.
Yes.
But for people...
They don't care. They're not emotionally invested. They
nothing.
Yes,
you know?
Okay.
When you can see a show in streets, mm-hmm. okay, street performance, you remember not the name of this of the performer,
yeah,
not what he does, but it was a great moment, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeling, the emotion, you remember that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sleight of hands is important to create a good magic, but it's not important to show. You're a good sleight of hand. You know what I mean?
And to be able to connect with them on that emotional level, on where they are, that they can understand, appreciate, and be amazed. And I think that's what's... I was going to say, the better the magician that you are, the longer that mystery stays in their mind. If it's something that you have done that is excellent sleight of hand or manipulation or something that may have fooled them... That would be one thing, but if you've also connected with them on an emotional level, then they are invested in that, in trying to try to understand it, and they can't because you have so many different avenues and things, you know, that you have created that makes it difficult for them to backtrack. The point is, I think that the mystery lasts longer, and if they come back a year later to you and say, "Wow, I still haven't figured that out," you know, I think that's a
I have a story
thing.
Like that.
Okay.
In streets last year, last summer, there was American people in my city, in Strasbourg.
Yeah.
And they came to see me on my table, and there was a guy with five or six kids, I don't remember. And he put on my table a bill of €5. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, please, amuse them, my kids.
Okay.
Okay, good. It's my job.
Sure,
and,
sure.
No problem, okay?
Yeah.
So I did a few tricks, and one of the kids, Dad, come, it's great. It's funny, it's great.
Yeah.
Come, it's a good magician. And the guy came back, and he told me, okay, you stay here for a long time, or in 30 minutes you're here? Sure, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'll wait for you if you wish.
Yeah.
Okay, we came back. 30 minutes after,
comes back
the kids,
yeah,
and him, and with a friend of him, and he put on my table €20,
mm-hmm.
a bill of €20.
Okay,
perfect. Okay, amuse them again. No, I started with you before.
Yeah,
okay. And today I'm a put pocket. I put my props or my coins in pockets of my spectator. You
yes.
know.
Okay.
And during. During the moment, tell him bonjour, how are you?
Shaking hands.
I put some coins in his pockets, okay?
Okay.
He has a short shirt with pockets.
Yeah.
And in this shirt, in each part, big pockets.
Big, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And three or four coins, I think.
Okay.
I loaded, you know?
Yeah.
And... okay, it's when my one coin routine you
yes.
see on my lecture yesterday.
Right.
You need to see my lecture to understand.
Yeah.
And, okay, I start with vanish of one coin, and, okay, the coin is in your pocket of the shirt. Oh, watch. Oh, yes, now in your shoulder. Oh, yes, now in your arm. Oh, yes, in your hand. Oh, yes. At the end, the last was in his pocket of
yeah.
the shorts.
The shorts, yeah.
And in this pocket, there was a small pocket.
Small pocket inside
small
of his
pocket,
regular large.
Inside
the
sure. regular shirt.
Like his watch yeah. pocket kind of a thing, yeah.
To put some coins
coin
in the change pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And in fact, he had a lot of objects in,
okay.
in the regular pockets.
Okay.
A phone, keys, and a wallet, I remember. And
they're like cargo shorts, I guess.
Each object of his pockets.
Yes.
it reverses the small pocket in the regular pocket.
Okay.
That's why it was impossible for him.
Yeah. Because
when I load the coin falls inside the small pocket, you know.
Yes.
And it 5 minutes, 5 minutes for him to exit, to find the coin and to show the coin to everybody. 5 minutes. It was great.
Right.
For me.
Because you did nothing while he was just...
Oh, yeah, sure.
And what was his reaction?
No voice.
No voice. He just looked with wide eyes.
Oh, I'm impressed. It was, wow, but what? It's impossible. I can feel it. Not, how did you do? What the?
Yeah.
You know, and it was crazy. And Mia was there, you know, smart. And give me money, guy.
So it was not
he
just
gave me a lot of money after. It was great.
Yeah. Not just entertaining the kids. It was something great, you know, for the adults. Yeah.
Just one trick.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. After he forgot kids.
Right.
It's good.
Well,
you know, the feeling, the emotion, and you need to create this emotion. But I didn't want to create that, you know, but it was strange because during the routine, each effect prepare the last effect.
Okay.
You know, in his mind. That's why for the last pocket, it was impossible. He was stressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he reverses the pocket inside, just by stress.
Yeah.
And if you control that, you can create big emotions, you know. That's why you need to choose the good spectator. And when you feel the good spectator, okay, this one is really good for that and that and that.
Right.
That's why I can create a big emotion. Now, for this effect and the other, for example, you know, blah, 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 blah. You need to...
Well, that's something that I have asked a lot of people about, and that is spectator selection. I think that's one of the most difficult things to try to get the right person. And in particular, when you're working in the street, if you get the wrong person, you're going to lose your audience. And if you're doing that in the context of a performance, you know, for a corporate show or any other banquet or whatever you're doing, if you get the wrong person, you've lost your audience. Maybe not physically, but they're emotionally disconnected from you at that point. But if you're on the street and you're depending upon keeping those people there, if you get the wrong person who isn't interesting, you know, you could lose people and they start to walk away, I think.
Yeah, but I think in street is important because you need to win money. But it's more important, I think, in corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to come back next year.
Sure, of course.
You know, in streets, you can change waves of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem, you know. But not with tourists, but with a citizen of your city is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, I'm in Houston, you live here, and you like my magic, okay? You like to see me in the street. And when you have some friends at home for holidays, during 1 week or a few days, if you want to see something really special here, I can show you a magician in the street.
Yeah, you take him down.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like a museum.
Right.
It's like, that's why it's important. With tourists, if they don't pay or if you choose a wrong spectator, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because... he's not sure to come back.
They're just there for the one time. I understand.
Sure.
But yeah, on a corporation, you want to make sure that you're going to be hitting. Well, in that particular case, and for those audiences, you have the same issue, and that is of trying to make sure that you, connect with them, so that way that you have created a mystery, and B, when you have someone come up to select the right volunteer or spectator. Mm-hmm. And that goes to my question again. How do you determine which one that you're going to select? I mean, how do you select your... volunteers?
I have a good and big nose for that.
Yeah. It just, you know, takes time.
I think it's natural or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't learn that, I think.
Yeah, it's not something easy to learn. But
no, but sometimes I choose the wrong spectator. Uh-huh. But it's very interesting.
Hmm.
Because you learn a lot with the wrong spectator.
True. No, that's very true.
And it's really good for that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Maybe not for the money. Not for business.
But for down the road.
Artistically, it's really good.
Artistically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And for few days ago, during a lecture, I don't remember where, maybe New Orleans, but I'm not sure. A guy asked me, Louisville.
Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. asked me how you practice for your tricks, because you use a lot of spectators.
Sure.
I practice only in the street or in public. That's all. But
when
I need to have wrong spectators. Okay, now it's a wrong spectator. I know why.
I know what went wrong. You can learn from that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know. And I worked during 1 year in a wax museum in France, in Paris, mm-hmm. the Museum Grévin. And a lot of people a day, more than 4,000 people a day.
Are these people just standing in line waiting to get tickets to come in? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just waves of people all the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you
and you're doing the same tricks over and over and over and over for people you never see again. And if it goes wrong, you've learned something. And if it goes right, they'll remember
follow
you.
Follow the grid and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I change, hello, my name is Eric, I'm a magician, I show you some tricks. Oh, it's wrong, no problem. Please, follow the grid.
Yeah.
And I change my way, you know.
That's not a bad idea, you know, whereas if you're going to be working in a restaurant, a lot of these patrons might come back then again. And if you're a bad magician, then they may not come back because the food was just okay, but the magic was bad. So there's good and bad about trying out some new material. However, that in the context of street magic versus a restaurant magician, street magic, I think it's fast and you get paid, you are compensated by their enjoyment. And if you don't get any money, you know, you did something wrong. In a restaurant, you may be paid by the management, or you may get some tips then also. But I guess my point I was going to say is that you can still practice in the context of performing at a restaurant some new tricks, but you also have to have solid material that you kind of sandwiched around the new stuff you're trying to break in. Do you do that a lot with the street magic then also?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And I practice a lot in restaurant too.
Okay.
That's why it's really similar, this job. Street and restaurants is really similar.
Very similar because, they're strangers that you may never see again or vice versa.
No, and after depend if you're, if the owner of restaurants speak about you before your performance at each table, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have a magicians this evening. He will come after at your table to show you some tricks.
Yeah.
We don't want. Okay, no problem. Oh, yes, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It will come after.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're not announced before.
Right.
Okay. And you need to go at each table. Hello, my name is Eric. And you? Okay, I have my method.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to connect quickly with them.
Yeah.
And to impose you. Impose? Imposition?
No. Oh, impose. Impose.
Impose.
Impose
you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is my way. So in streets, you learn a lot of connection, quick connections, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't connect, you can show every moves
during
the day. No people comes, you know.
Right.
So you need to connect quickly with people to install your audience around you, you know, and it's great for restaurant, it's great for street, and restaurant is good for street, and street is good for restaurant. It's really similar, but street for me, is my opinion, okay, is the best school in the world. You need to be good, prepared, you know, and to have a lot of weapons in your jacket.
Right.
The weapons is a lot of knowledge in magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If something goes wrong, you have things, you have some outs.
You can change,
right,
you know, quickly and
adapt.
You need to be connected with environment,
mm-hmm.
people.
All the people, yeah.
What you do, a lot of things. A lot of information in few seconds, you know.
Right.
And you need to feel that. And to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And you be nude. You're nude in streets.
Yeah.
You know, completely.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like a a comedian standing in front of a microphone, in front of the audience, with nothing but the microphone in front of him. And the same thing, you're basically nude. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think is the best school in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think so. A club or a teacher can learn that.
No, there are things that you can only learn.
You need to be confronted.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said before. That. Is the two things you can't practice are timing and misdirection, because you might practice a move all you want, but if it's the wrong timing, they're going to catch you. Or if you don't misdirect properly, they're going to catch you. I mean, it looks good in the mirror, but you don't know exactly until you actually work with a person
exactly
on the other end, like you're saying, you know, with the one coin routine or something. We'll have
mirror, you blink.
That's true, too.
It's not so good.
So my question then now would have to do with not only restaurants, but also in street magic. In order to grab the people, you kind of alluded to this, but what would be an opening effect? Or what do you do in order to get their attention? It has to be like a quick 15
second thing.
To catch them,
or?
Yeah. Well, to capture their attention. So this, yeah. I mean,
Oh, depends. For example, I use a close-up effects.
Yeah, okay.
You know, with few people, and because the people is really curious.
Yeah.
And it's not so hard to catch people and to show some things.
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep them.
Well, that's totally
different.
True. Yeah. Particularly when you're working to get money and you don't want them walking away before the end, before you pass the hat.
But I love my Great Illusion in street for that, you know, with a big coin.
Okay. Yeah.
Jumbo coins. I multiply the coin and with a spellbound or something like that. Or I use close up. Or just hey, it's magic show. I'm a French magician, the best in the world today. Now, please welcome and the blah blah blah. And I place my people around me like a festival, you know.
Sure.
And,
but that's different from a restaurant. If you're going to be walking up to a restaurant and performing in a cocktail party or something like that, they may not know that you're a magician, you know, that you kind of blend in with everybody else. Do you wear different clothing or something then also, or something that might draw attention that you're a magician?
No, during, for example, for corporations or for restaurants, I'm the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And I impose me.
Okay.
Okay. How, for example, you're in a restaurant with Katie, okay?
All right.
And, hi, how are you? I'm shaking hands.
Oh, you
My
do?
Name is Eric. Oh, yeah, sure, I touch you. My name is Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And you?
I'm Scott.
Scott and Katie.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. I'm the magician today, and this evening, and I stay here with you for a few minutes, and I show you something really interesting. Watch.
Okay.
Okay, you can't... Tell me no.
No,
yes, nothing. Okay.
you're not asking any questions. You're telling him what you're going to do.
Sure.
You introduce yourself and
here's
what's going
to happen. If I come, hello, I'm a magician. You want to see a magic trick? No.
No.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.
You know, no.
Right.
I come here for that. I impose you and it's okay after because I know my job.
Sure.
So it's not a problem.
Hmm.
But I don't, I insist, I'm not here to show you I'm the good magician. It's for you. I work for you, for people. When I'm in a restaurant or in the streets, I'm here for them, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
For me, yes, sure, because I love that and I need money. But if I want to be good, I do it for the others.
Sure,
you
sure.
Know?
Okay. Now, when you're working in the streets then also, what is your last thing? A lot of street magicians will do cups and balls. Do you cups and balls?
No.
Or do you don't?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Because everyone else is, I guess. And
because every magician uses cups and balls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that, but I don't want to
Not
do
for
it.
You.
No. No.
What do you finish? What do you use?
Depends. I have a trick with a bill. I use my routine with the glass and coins, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Yeah.
And, or I use, I have an act with a spectator. I use a spectator and a pick in pocket. I put in pockets.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, it's good. To finish is really good. Really good. It's a particular magic. My magic is really personal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You could see. And, I'm not sure a lot of people use the same magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, to put in pocket is really great because I create a lot of feelings.
I would think you would create a lot of feelings. And
sure.
And again, when you talk about earlier reversing things, that that's something that, at least here in America, when people see a magician, they think, oh, hold on to your watches and your wallets, you know, he's going to pick your pocket. And so they may think that the same with you, but then for long they realize, no, you know, there are things coming out of my pockets, you know,
yes.
They're being different, being a put pocket.
And I don't touch for them.
Yes.
No connection.
Sure.
And they search themselves in and their pockets.
They look for find them. You're not reaching in their pockets to pull that out.
I love, for example, for the foreigner, to use my wallet, mm-hmm. my glasses, my watch, and to put all this object in his pocket.
In their pocket, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do with my stuff?
Watch, I'm a pickpocket. I have your wallet. Oh, where is my wallet? Oh, maybe. You have my wallet in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I reverse, you know.
Sure.
There's a trick. And for them, it's...
I thought it was funny you said at the lecture last evening about how that you became a put pocket when people... there was actually a thief working at the...
I tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead. That was funny.
I was doing a show for a corporation, a pickpocket show. Pickpocket act.
Mm-hmm.
I was a spectator on stage with me, and I steal his
wristwatch,
watch, and a wallet. And watch. Where is your watch? In my hand. And another guy in the public. Hey, and my wallet. And my watch. And my wallet. And my watch. Some people, a few people, like that.
Yeah.
Oh, stop! It's not me. It's not my act.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a real thief.
That was working the audience.
Yes, and it was a shame for me, you know, because the corporation wasn't to work with me after.
They never worked with you again?
No. No, it was a big problem.
Wow.
Oh, a big problem.
Did they find
a few months.
Did they find the thief? Did they catch the guy?
Oh, sure.
Hmm.
The evening, a few minutes after, it's him. Because every people was sit down.
Yes.
Only one during this moment.
Was walking around.
Yeah, sure.
Is
him.
Did he work for the company or was he a waiter?
Yeah. No. He worked for the company.
Wow. I guess he got fired.
But for them, it was a problem and they didn't want to work with me after because they were afraid about that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why now I'm a put pocket with my props. And not pickpocket.
I wonder how people get by with that. You know, like Gregory Wilson, for an example, you know, and Ricky Dunn used to be a pickpocket, and others who are like that, who are pickpockets, you know, and how they can... I know that they will a lot of times say, now, everybody make sure that you don't have everything that you have come with, because I'm not leaving with anyone's personal possessions.
If you need to pay some policemen, some cops... You know, to touch you after the show is not good too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So,
no, that's true.
To verify if you have nothing in your pockets or no. I love risk because I'm a firefighter since 20 years. I love risk, but not this risk.
A different kind of risk, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's totally different.
You'd rather risk your life rather than Well, speaking of being a firefighter, so you have done that for some 20 years. Were you interested in magic before you were interested in firefighting, or kind of what came first?
Okay, for the first time in the interview, I explained just a part of my life.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's you.
Thank you.
And, My life is really special. I'm a firefighter since 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
In 20 years, in army, on beach, and professional firefighter since 16 years. In Strasbourg, in my city, and before in Paris. And in 2000, I practice magic. I begin magic just before 2000.
Okay. So you're a firefighter since 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so around 2000, you started
really
doing magic.
Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
you're like a 16 teenager.
Years old.
Right.
And in 2004, so I practiced magic just for me, like that, in the club and with friends and. Some corporations, maybe sometimes like that, but that's all. And streets.
Okay.
Streets.
You started
my first
street
job.
Yeah,
really? With magic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I start magic in streets 6 months after I was in streets. And
that's funny because 6 months after I was started doing magic, I was working essentially. I was working inside of a shopping mall. You know, they had, yeah. But I was. It was the same thing. A street manager trying to stop people.
Oh yeah,
so
sure.
I think you learn by fire. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's going to your fire.
Yeah, so to speak.
I have two fires.
speaking of, yeah. So go ahead.
And in 2004, I had a big accident. In English. Sorry for my English, my accents, but I lose my words. In 2004, I was glued on a electric cable in a fire.
Yeah.
You know, during 10 seconds. And
You had your hands on an electric...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was fixed.
Yeah, you couldn't let go because, your hands were just constricted around the...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And electric cable. I was dead during 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes, you were dead?
Yeah.
And they were just giving you...
Resuscitation, electroshock, you know?
Electroshock, yeah.
Okay, twice.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes, what is the name for that?
Resuscitation, where they're just pumping you in your heart.
Yeah, they pumped my heart, you know, with the hands during 30 minutes.
Yeah. But you had cardiac arrest, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cardiac arrest. Perfect. And I lost my memory during six months, totally.
But I'm surprised, that if you were essentially dead and weren't breathing and were brain dead after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That
is crazy.
It's crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. It's a miracle for me. It's my second life.
You are. This is your second,
Second life for me. Sure. It's not the same, you know. That's why I want to divorce and to marry again with the same wife. You
okay.
know? Yeah. No, it's just a stupid joke. But it's true. Not so stupid. But, in fact, no.
So after that, I was
shocked. Okay,
yeah.
Two electric shock, maybe 1 or 2 minutes after my accident,
mm-hmm.
and is not reversible.
It's not reversible. Reversible. Yeah.
Okay, for your brain.
Yeah.
Just after 3 minutes. So if you do something before, in the first 3 minutes after your shock, okay. We can save you.
Yeah.
Okay. After there is problems. And for me, it was more difficult after to find memories, 6 months to find the first memory.
Could you remember your name even?
No.
Couldn't you remember your name?
Nothing.
You could speak, but it was like amnesia, basically.
I could speak. I could count.
Yeah.
Different thing in the life is...
Did you know any language or just French only? Could you speak English?
No, French, English, Italian, some things like that. But my wife, no. My son, no. My first son. My family, friends.
Didn't recognize anybody?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Anybody, no.
Like amnesia.
And 3 ways. First, suicide. Second, you change your life. Third, you learn your life.
What's the third?
Learn.
Learn your life.
Learn again.
Yeah.
Your life. Okay. You relearn.
Relearn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the hardest way, and I choose this one.
Mm-hmm.
It was better for me.
Well, yeah.
And for them, for my family and friends too. But I'm really crazy to change life too. And with my memory too. I can do it. you know?
Yeah.
I'm really crazy for that. But no, I prefer to... You know, the first... feeling really hard for me is there is a boy, is my boy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a there is a woman in my house.
Okay,
because he's my house.
You didn't know.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here with a woman, with a boy, and is my wife and my son. But I don't like them. I don't love them.
So you had to fall in love with them all over again.
How to refine the same emotion, you know, after.
Yeah.
I needed to learn to love him.
Yes.
To love her, you know,
yes.
And to love my son.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is.
You know? But it was really hard. After my first, when I found my first memories after 6 months, I didn't love her.
She was a friend at that point, I guess.
Yes, but I remember one thing. And this thing it was very simple. During when my first son was born.
Yeah.
You know that, okay?
Yes, it was.
When you go to the hospital for that, Okay, you're two people. Okay.
Yes.
Your wife and you.
There's okay? two of you, right?
And when you come back at home, you're three.
Yeah, there are three, sure.
And it's really special, you know. Mm-hmm. And you love your son. You don't know him, but you love naturally your son. It's true. So I remember this feeling, and I wanted to find it. And this
find
feeling,
that loving feeling for your son again.
And this feeling helped me to love my family, my friends, and my wife, and my first son. Mm-hmm. And after it, during the accident, I lost more than 6 kilotons of muscles.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me to take a bottle of water or to smoke a cigarette or to go to the bathroom.
You couldn't grip anything or anything?
No, nothing.
Well, as a fireman and after being electrocuted, I would think that there's really nothing else it's hard to do because as a fireman, you have to be able to carry things and put things on your back and you have to be physically fit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
A lot of sports.
So you had to exercise?
Nothing. And no, I didn't want to have a rendezvous with a doctor or something like that,
okay.
You know, for to
go through rehabilitation.
Yeah, no. And my wife told me, okay, it's your house. You practice magic. Oh, really?
You didn't even remember
no,
that?
No. But I felt something in my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
The sensibility, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange for me. Okay, I need to understand why. And when she told me, okay, you practiced magic before. Okay, show me. And they show me, and Elizabeth showed me a video with three tricks.
That you had done?
I practiced just for me.
Yeah.
What
were they?
I used this trick today.
But it was
because it was a magic therapy, you know, for me.
Yeah. Magic
and
therapy.
The magic saved me.
Yeah.
The doctor told her before to come back at home, mm-hmm. at the hospital, I was in coma,
mm-hmm.
okay, unconscious.
Unconscious, yeah.
The doctor told her, okay, after the night, we will see if he's dead or in life. But if he's alive, maybe like a vegetable.
Wow.
I'm a good vegetable, beautiful vegetable
right.
today, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a miracle. I don't trust in God, but like a miracle, it's my second life, and the magic saved me, really.
Hmm.
And I need to respect now, and I love magic, and I respect a lot magic.
And you had to practice over and over and learn these moves that you hadn't, that you knew before but had forgotten completely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better now.
Do you still perform as a firefighter as much as you did before? Are you doing more or less as a firefighter as far as that job goes? Or
no, I'm really tired after. I was really tired. And now I have a break in my career. I can take 10 years of break in my career. And now I'm just a magician.
So you're just doing this full-time. On a full-time basis?
Yeah. And it's great like that. I'm really tired by misery, by cries, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I have my problems. I don't need the problem of the others, you know. And for me, no. And I miss confidence on my friends, you know, firemen, and on me too.
Yeah,
you know, because after an accident like that, you can't be sure. The risk number zero.
Yeah,
you know that?
Right.
Doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't my first accident, but the biggest accident, yes. And
I mean, while you were on the job as a firefighter, was it your first accident?
My first in a forest in fire.
Well, when you said it wasn't your first accident.
Yeah, yeah. In a forest in fire.
Oh, in a forest fire.
Forest fire.
Okay, yes.
Okay. I was in fire, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it was my first, but I wasn't. It wasn't so hard. It's okay. And, I love a lot.
Okay.
But I'm not here for that.
No.
But magic saved me, really. Magic saved me.
Well, and it was coins that really, again, is your forte, and you had worked with a coinvention. And tell me something about that and how that developed and what...
European Coin Magic Symposium.
Okay.
To help every magician in the world in coin magic now is in close-up magic because it's an open close-up magic symposium in Milan, Italy, organized before by
Milan.
Italian accent.
So the proper way of pronouncing it is Milano.
Milano. French.
Funny. Okay.
It was organized by me, Giacomo Bertini, and Jean-Emmanuel Francis. Francis in English.
Close enough.
French guy.
Okay.
Great coin worker in the world. And like Giacomo Bertini. And now I stopped this event for me to organize something because I have a lot of projects. Mm-hmm. But this idea was developed to improve the field of magic in coin. Mm-hmm. Magic, and to help somebody, an unknown magician, not to be known, but to present his magic and to perform maybe with guests.
Okay.
And to share magic, you know, because it's not because you're known, you're the best. Maybe somebody unknown is better than you, but you have... You have a good marketing, you know, and not the other, for example. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And I can give some names like that, but I don't want. But I can, like you, I think. That's why it's really important. For me, it's a good convention.
Yeah. Really. And it's a kind of like the 4F convention that there are not a lot of people who attend. It's only about 100 or so people.
Well, the max is 100 people.
Okay.
With guests included. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
So that way it's very intimate.
Yeah, really intimate. And guests and participants, they are mixed. In the same room, same hotel. You can take a breakfast with one of the guests or a lot of guests, you know. It was funny. A friend of me, an unknown magician.
Okay.
A member of my club.
Okay.
His first time, he told me, Eric, he's great.
Yeah.
You're sure? Why? What? This morning I wake up, I open my door, the room, I go outside, I take downstairs, and I'm with David Roth.
Yeah, David Roth.
My
Roth.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And after he told me, can I come with you at your table to take the breakfast with you?
Yeah.
It was great. It was a dream for me.
Yeah.
You know, watch. Touch my skin. Touch me. Yeah. Watch. It's great.
Sure.
Sure, but it's a convention, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. We want that.
Yes. And you were saying also that I guess you can have one-on-one workshops.
Private sessions. Exactly.
And that's all included in the cost of the workshop. I mean, the
no,
convention.
It's included in the...
The registration.
The registration, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it is now, but this principle is existent, you know?
In other conventions?
No, in this convention.
Oh, just in the coin.
Yeah. It's always like that, but I don't know. Maybe there was a lot of people, a lot of guests, and maybe you can't choose, you know, a lot of people. So maybe it was limited for the first 50 registrants, you know, maybe like that.
Yeah.
But you can have, you can choose two or three guests and to have a private session, individual private session with them, with each guest during 45 minutes, 1 hour.
Right.
And it's good. It's really good.
And by doing that again, you have a second and a third option. So if the first one fills up, then you can go to the second one or third one.
No, kind you of have thing. The three.
You have three.
No. You have three private sessions.
Okay.
It's not
three different people.
To exchange. No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No. For example, there is Scott Wells, there is Mike Lamar, there is Danny D'Ortis, Bebel, Francis Tabari. Just three. Okay. I choose Scott Wells, Michael Lamar, and Bebel. And I have a private session with you, Michael Lamar, and Bebel.
Yeah, okay.
During 1 hour with each guest.
Yeah, that's
1 hour
nice.
With you, 1 hour with Michael, 1 hour with Bebel.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Sure.
It's great.
Wow. Nice concept. So you were saying that you have a lot of projects. Are you working on some DVDs, working on some books, or what is your plans?
I work on some DVDs, yes.
Like street magic stuff or coin magic?
Coin magic, one in coin magic.
Have you thought about doing something on the streets? I mean, in Cosmo and some others have different things, you know, Eric Evans and I think some other guys. And I'm trying to think actually of some DVDs that they that are out there on street magic. There's not a lot out there.
Okay, that's, I didn't know that.
That's a thought, you know.
Okay. Cosmo Magic.
What's that?
Is?
Cosmo, you know Cosmo?
Cosmo.
Yeah, right.
The name, that's
all.
No, in Coin Magic, because I'm, I want to defend the back palm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your back palm with a coin, I think, is a little bit different. I like that. You know,
no, it's not different. It's a real move. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I say different, as opposed to when you have it between your index finger and little finger, I think in Bobo, when I learned it, that you're, you know, moving your middle fingers, kind of spinning the coin around. But you have a good point that when you spin it like that, that there's a window. There's too much of that show. So you actually put your fingers all the way around the back of it and never let that spin between your fingers.
Yes.
I don't know if that comes across over here for the podcast for people to visualize that. But
yes.
Those in the coin know what we're talking about.
And how to justify this technique.
And justify.
Not like a penguin, you know.
Yeah, it's like yeah, so with flippers.
Yeah.
You know, like a penguin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to justify really good, very well this technique. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of ideas with that. And it's one of my projects.
Mm-hmm.
Project in Coin Magic with German and Francis too.
Mm-hmm.
To create a school of Coin Magic
will
to in the world.
In France? In French?
No, in English.
In English, okay.
Oh, in English.
Mm-hmm.
No, in English.
You think there's a larger market in with the English market than there is in the French market?
It's not a problem of market because no, it's not a problem of market. It's just because in France people doesn't like coin magic, but in the world, yes, it's
okay.
Strange, you know.
Yeah,
but we prefer to share with stranger people.
Okay.
Than French people.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like that. So France is just for a stage or card magic, but coin magic, no, I don't want why.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Hmm.
And in coin magic. And I have some, I want to work for me, for my act,
mm-hmm.
on my act. And
okay.
And for corporations too.
Mm-hmm.
I have some workshops for corporations where I explain by magic how to improve, okay, your personality
mm-hmm.
or your negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Productivity.
Productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Just by magic, by tricks. And by concept, psychological concept we use in magic. For example, the body language for me is really important in magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And misdirection, timing, okay? I explained during my lecture the mm-hmm. brain, how
right.
to use brain, for example.
Right.
And is to explain this method I use
mm-hmm.
to improve your business
yeah.
or in personal development, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting. Really exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh. Well, so it's
but
really
I don't want to give some ideas here because it's my ideas, you know, it's my business.
No, I understand. But you're not necessarily teaching them tricks. You're teaching the psychology of tricks that can be incorporated in everyday life, particularly in negotiations, you were saying, in sales or something. But it can also transcend to be utilized by those even in accounting or IT or whatever because you're interacting with fellow employees all the time. And if you can use body language and different psychological ploys to
and
get them to...
to observe your environment before.
In, observe your
and
environment.
And adapt.
Yeah. Okay.
To how you can adapt yourself in this environment,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I understand. Okay. So, now, you're doing some of this now? You're already working with some companies and doing these
sure.
these kinds of things?
When mm-hmm. I come back in France, I have a lot of
of
work. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So it's not just the street magic that you're doing. You're doing a lot of things then for company, customer meeting, or employee meetings and sales training events and things like that for companies.
With the street?
Well, in addition, I say you're
yeah.
You're not only doing street magic, but
I would love. I would love to live just with street magic.
But a lot of guys who do.
I have two kids.
Well,
10 okay. years old yesterday.
Yes, that's
for the
right.
first, and I need to. I travel a lot.
Yeah,
and they need to see me too. You
sure.
know, and to
and if you're gonna be
me too,
street
me
magic
too.
Yeah.
Yes,
Strasbourg
is a good place.
Sure.
During the summer, from June until September, I'm in street.
Yeah.
Okay. No other job, just street. Mm-hmm. And it's 4 months, but during these 4 months, I can move.
Right.
You know, can travel just a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, to go in Germany, for example, or Italy, Rome, Berlin, and
Spain. A little
Spain.
Bit warmer climates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to change place. Mm-hmm. Berlin is a great place. Rome, I love Rome. Mm-hmm. In Spain, Barcelona, for example, yeah. is great. Mm-hmm. I would love to go to
tourist
Bath.
Tourist places, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To Bath in the UK,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I would love.
Yeah.
The Gazo City.
So, Gazo City. So what, give me a couple of experiences, a couple of really crazy things on the streets, performances. You mentioned that one about the guy coming over.
Okay, one.
Okay.
One of the best for me.
Okay.
It was crazy, but is it, maybe for some people it's not so beautiful. It's a bad memory, but for me it's good.
Okay.
I was in Saint-Tropez.
Saint-Tropez,
okay?
Yep.
Saint-Tropez. On the port was my table. And I can hear a Ferrari. Ferrari?
Yep, Ferrari.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A yellow Ferrari with a young guy. And he stopped 10 meters of me.
Okay.
And a lot of tourists, you know. Mm-hmm. They come to see yachts and...
Yacht.
And... Beautiful cars.
I think Yotes is an Amish family, I think.
Okay.
No, it's Yoder.
Or is in...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is in French.
Okay.
It's Yacht.
Yachts. Okay, yacht. So they stop sailing. Yeah,
And to see, yeah, the tourists, when they come in Saint-Tropez, not to see Saint-Tropez, but to see celebrities, stars, you know,
yeah.
and a yacht.
Yeah.
And beautiful cars.
And women.
And a woman.
Yep.
And the guy... Tell me, hey, amuse me.
Is he sitting in his car and pointing
yeah,
at you?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
He point me and, okay, come. And
yeah.
Completely surrounded
yeah.
at this moment, you know, the guy comes and he put on my table a bill of 200 euros.
Wow.
Okay, I win or I lose? He asked me. No, I'm not a cheater, I'm a magician. Keep your
yeah.
bill.
Yeah.
Keep your bill, guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And he put his bin in his wallet.
Okay.
And okay, show me a trick. I have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Just five. Yeah, 5 minutes. If you're good, I will pay you. Yeah, it's my job. Okay, no problem.
Sure.
I will be good for you. And it was an excellent spectator, you know. He spoke a lot, mm-hmm. you know, a lot. And it was great during 30 minutes.
Yeah.
At the end, wow, 30 minutes. Oh, I'm late. Oh, please, ladies and gentlemen, you can see he's a great magician today with
yeah.
us. Please pay him. Oh,
yeah.
Great. It's my job. Perfect.
Yeah.
He worked for me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he take in his hands the wallet. Mm-hmm. He opened his wallet. And in France, he tells me, à la hauteur de mon plaisir, is at the level of my pleasure, maybe.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Okay. I pay like I like
okay.
what you did.
In proportion to my enjoyment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And I can see a lot of bills,
yeah,
you know,
big
and
money.
Big bills, you
yeah.
know. And he tell me that, and I can see. Some spirals
yeah.
in the air and ding, 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 ding. 1 cent. 1 cent.
He throws out 1 cent.
Me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
1 cent. And.
Okay.
Okay, in proportion.
Yes.
Of enjoyment. Oh, great guy.
Thank you. Glad
but
you enjoyed the show.
The worst moment is everybody. Oh, what? Oh, isn't it good? Oh, it's bad. Ah, bad
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
But nobody paid me. You know, 30 minutes.
They all turned against that
with
guy.
More than 100 people,
yeah.
1 cent.
That is
you know?
Crazy.
I kept the
penny.
The penny, yeah. Sure.
I think I would wear that like a necklace, you know.
Nope.
Holy cow.
Wow.
And then he got in the Ferrari and drove off. Yeah. Why not work a street? Yeah, there's money in them.
Yeah, but it was, at this moment, it wasn't funny for me.
No, I guess not.
Oh, no. But after, yes.
Yeah, it makes for a good story.
Yeah. It's a good formation, you know?
Yes, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, as we start to kind of wrap up then a little bit over here, that the title of my podcast is called The Magic Word. And so my question for you would then be, what would be your magic word? I mean, you've obviously got a second act that you're doing now. I mean, this is your second life, and so you've got a lot to be thankful for. But what's important to you? What's your magic phrase or word? What do you live by?
My mom would love, I tell you, poof, poof.
poof.
But I told you I use, for example,
oh yeah,
just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was this at the last interview in May.
Yeah,
last
we
May.
Were, yeah,
I think it's
4F.
Yes, I snap. No, in Bristol.
Was it Bristol? Sorry, last May. Yeah.
And I snap. I love to snap.
I think and I remember last time you whistled. You did.
I use my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, to use my eyes, and just a snap.
Good.
You know, strange moment, strong moment.
That creates a different mood, changes the mood.
Yeah, it depends. If I want to be funny, maybe poof poof, or maybe I sing. Yeah, I don't sing, so I have just one word. Depend of the moment, you know, but I love to snap.
Yeah, good enough. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Glad that you were here and shared a lot of great information and some good advice, I think, then, too. So,
I hope.
Good.
And,
So, Eric Rumestan.
Rumestan.
Getting better.
Eric. English. Eric is good.
That's good. Thank you very much. That was Eric.
Thank
and for
you.
The Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty M. Hello, this is Scott Wells again, and as a special little addition to our podcast we just had with Eric Rumestan, I also thought we would talk a little bit with another French magician that many of you have seen or heard of, or at least know the name. He's internationally famous, Babel. Hey there, Babel, how are you?
Bonjour, ça va bien, et vous, Scott?
I'm fine. Thank you. I know that you know very little English, and so we'll try to do as best we can over here. Eric is a street magician, and you are a street magician. How long have you been doing this? A long time, I guess?
Oh oui, ça fait 20 ans que je fais de la rue, et je pratique des cartes. Je fais plutôt des cartes, mais voilà, j'ai commencé par la magie des cordes, et je trouvais qu'en fait c'était bien, mais je n'étais pas libre. Donc avec les cartes, c'est vachement mieux. Voilà, et ça fait 20 ans que je fais de la magie de rue.
So that means you've been doing it for a little while, I guess. I don't understand French, and I think it's equal on the English side.
I speak a little bit English. If you ask me something, maybe I can.
Well, I know that you say red cards and black cards when you
red cards. maybe. Black cards.
Yeah. Do you work in Paris mainly?
Yes. I work in Paris in Mabillon. Mabillon, c'est le nom où je me produis dans la rue. C'est Mabillon.
And when you're performing, do you sit down or stand? I mean, I know that you normally have a cane when you walk, but do you sit?
Yes, I have a table. And I'm sit always, et c'est mieux comme ça. Et tous les gens sont autour de la table, et je fais de la magie pendant 2 heures et non-stop. C'est comme ça, quoi. C'est voilà, c'est ma magie.
And so, how many people normally can see your show as far as sitting or standing around the table? I would think as a street magician, like with Eric, that he has a lot of people. And so, how many people can see you when you're performing?
Ça dépend des soirs. Des fois, c'est 20 personnes. Quand je dis 20, c'est pas en tout. C'est il y a 20 personnes autour de la table. Et sinon, ça dépend des soirs. Il y a des soirs, ça marche très bien, environ 200 personnes en moyenne. Mais des soirs où il fait pas très beau et il y a beaucoup moins, il y a beaucoup moins de gens. Mais voilà.
Okay then. Well, I think that about wraps up all my questions and more than I can understand. I'm sorry?
Scott, you don't understand?
Not much. I think I understand when you asked me the question, do you understand? That was about it. Okay, I have to stop, I guess, here. That this has been just a lot of fun and a put-on. This I really don't have Babel, but I have with me Anthony. And Anthony has been traveling with Eric on this lecture tour and has, has been his driver. Anthony, your last name, pronounce your last name. I wasn't very good at pronouncing Rumistan, so pronounce your last name.
My last name is Mayu. Mayu. Yep.
Mayu.
It's more easy.
Yes, it would be easier than Rumistan, but it's still Mayu, okay? Antoine Mayu.
Oui.
Got it.
Mayu.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
And I know that you are very good friends of Babel, and I think that you probably answered the question. Obviously, you do him very well. You do a good imitation.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. We will see you later. That was Anthony Mayu, and this is Magic Word. Scotty out. Zooby, zooby, zooby.